Hey everyone, did you just win the lottery? Or did you just tune into Superhero Deep Dives? Maybe it's both, because they're awesome! Hello everyone, welcome to a new episode of Superhero Deep Dive. As always, I am your host, Jason. I have a really cool episode. This one might be really long. I think I might be shooting at the hour mark today. So, buckle up. We're going to be talking about Zatanna. Before I get into it though, let me get my disclaimers out of the way. It'll be a lot of fun. So the information is pulled from different sources across the internet and may or may not be completely complete, but they do give a really good insight on the current superhero. Why do I put that down? Because sometimes there are storylines that are taking place or that have taken place that I don't feel are really beneficial to the character, like doesn't add or take away from him too much. You may feel otherwise. If that's the case, let me know. So how do you reach me? You can catch me every Tuesday and Thursday throughout the day on Outworld Fleet Radio. Their website is outworldfleetradio.online. You can catch me on Twitter or X and Instagram under Super Deep Dive. You can catch me on YouTube under Superhero Deep Dive, which is the best place to reach out to me. Comment, like, subscribe, share, all that good stuff. Hit your notification bell so you know whenever I upload all week long, multiple videos every week, at least. Normally it's about 4 or 5 normal videos, and then I post superhero memes daily. I also post on TikTok under Superhero Deep Dive, so find me on there. And if not, you can always email me directly at b4itall@yahoo.com. Whew, okay. Now, if you guys hear barking in the background, that's going to be my dogs. They're jerks. I love them, but they have no manners. They don't care if I'm recording or not, so, you know, it's going to happen. I'm all alone tonight at the house, so I can't have anyone control them. A fun superhero fact, in the Amalgam Comics universe, Zatanna is actually merged with the Scarlet Witch of the Avengers to form a character known as Wanda Zatara, the White Witch. Pretty cool. It's pretty cool. The Amalgam universe was where DC and Marvel kind of went head to head on battles, and then they merged the universes for a small run called the Amalgam Universe, and they were a lot of fun. They were in the mid to late 90s. I think it was mid 90s. Comics were a lot of fun though. I really enjoyed them. Okay, but let's get into Zatanna. Her real name is Zatanna Zatara. And Zatanna is the daughter of magician Giovanni John Zatara, who appeared in Golden Age comic books, and Sindela, a member of the mystical species Homo Magi. Her younger cousin, the teenager Zachary Zatara, is also a magician in the DC universe. Zatanna makes her living as a stage illusionist prior to discovering her magical abilities while investigating the disappearance of her father. Her original costume is based upon her father's costume, but substituting fishnet stockings and high heels for slacks. No one's complaining about that. Zatanna's costume is iconic. She had a different costume like in the late 80s, I believe, that was a little bit more superhero driven, but eventually she went back to the fishnet, almost like the magician side performer, but it's awesome. It's iconic for her. If you see her, you know her. But anyways, Zatanna's search for her father was the subject of a storyline which was featured in several titles edited by Julia Schwartz, and in it, Zatanna interacts with Hawkman and Hawkgirl, battles Batman and Robin while in disguise as a witch, and under the control of the villain The Outsider. She also teams with the Atom, Green Lantern, and the Elongated Man. The series culminated in Justice League of America number 51, which is all the way back in 1967. This Justice League adventure took place during the Batman television craze, when Batman was at the height of his popularity. Rest in peace, Adam Ward. I've met him a couple times. I did photography for a while, and I got to do celebrity photographs with like him and fans. Awesome experience. Really cool guy. But the premise of the story was that the witch in Detective Comics 336 was actually Zatanna, and perceived as an attempt to get Batman participating in this issue of Justice League of America, no matter how vague the connection to Zatanna's quest was. So all it was just kind of helping connect the characters. It wasn't a whole lot to it, but it did connect her in that way. So, she briefly was featured in backup features in Adventure Comics and Supergirl from 1971 to 73. Zatanna assists the Justice League of America on a few missions before being elected to membership in 1978 in Justice League of America number 161. So she's been around for a while. Like, we have issues back in 67, we have her being a member in 78, and soon after Zatanna joined the group, the identity of her mother was revealed in a multi-issue storyline. Zatanna teamed with Superman in DC Comics Presents and with Batman in The Brave and the Bold. A 10-page short story in DC Special Blue Ribbon Digest, which was back in 1980, revealed new details about Zatara's origin and how Zatanna's quest to locate her father began. During her tenure with the Justice League, her power level diminishes so that she can only control the four elements of earth, air, fire, and water. So they tried to nerf her, basically. And that's fine. She starred in a backup feature in World's Finest Comics, and the limitation of her powers is reversed in a later issue back in 1982. She assists Wonder Woman and several other superheroines in fighting an extraterrestrial threat, and Zatanna was once elected as the Justice League chairperson via voting. At the conclusion of Alan Moore's Swamp Thing American Gothic storyline, which was then tied to the events of Crisis on Infinite Earths, John Constantine comes to get Zatanna, Mento, and Sargon the Sorcerer to come together to help demonic and divine forces in other hellish dimensions battle the entity known as the Great Evil Beast. The seance is held at Winter's Gate Manor, the home of Baron Winters in Georgetown, Washington, D.C., which is also a temporal threshold to other planes of reality. Because Constantine had previously taken Zatanna to a tantric studies meeting, Zatara will not let Zatanna out of his sight with Constantine present, and by his very presence is forced to take part in the seance to which he was not actually invited to. The beast, which is so tall that its thumb alone looms over hell, takes notice of their group twice. The first glimpse dooms Sargon, whom Zatara convinces to die like a sorcerer and not break the holding of hands. Sargon then burns to death nobly. The second glimpse starts to literally heat up Zatanna. Zatara willingly takes the effect onto himself, dying with his smoldering hat landing on the table, but sparing his daughter's life. He did what any father would do, right? Okay, Zatanna starred in a special solo one-shot in 1987 that featured Zatanna exploring her mother Sindela's background and battling the villainous sorcerer Allura. In Neil Gaiman's Books of Magic Limited series. Now, Neil Gaiman and Alan Moore, these are two heavy hitters in the comic writer world. You may know Neil Gaiman from the Sandman series that was on Netflix, which was phenomenal. It was really good. I don't care what you say. I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. Alan Moore wrote Watchmen, and he's done many other things. Don't get me wrong. These guys are, they're not one shots. But these are heavy hitters behind this character. Okay, so Zatanna becomes friends and even temporary guardian to Timothy Hunter, The boy destined to become the greatest wizard in the world, and his girlfriend Molly, who at the time was cursed by the Queen of the Fairies and unable to touch anything in the human world, including the ground. I'm not sure how that works, but it does. After a brief stay, she sent Molly home, and Tim wandered off into his own adventures. In 1993, Zatanna started her first solo limited series titled Zatanna Come Together, which saw her summoning her mother spirit and battling the sorcerer Tanarak and a demon called Zaos, and which is probably pronounced Chaos because a lot of X's do that, you know. I don't know. X-A-O-S. I'm going to say Chaos. Anyways, when the Justice League vanish into the past as they attempt to rescue the missing Aquaman, an emergency protocol set up by Batman assembles a new league, with this including Jason Blood as a magical expert. However, and Jason Blood is Etrigan, so I did a deep dive on Etrigan. You should check it out. It's pretty cool. Like, he's a cool character. But however, when the current threat is identified as Gamemne, an ancient Atlantean sorceress who seeks to conquer the world, she uses a quagmire spell to absorb Zatanna and Tempest into herself. When new League leader Nightwing attempts to order Blood to transform into Etrigan to help him against Gamemne, Blood insists that Zatanna is the one they need, sacrificing himself to Gamemne's quagmire spell in order to free Zatanna. She subsequently joins Nightwing, Firestorm, and Hawkgirl in traveling back to ancient Atlantis, where Aquaman has been trapped in a pool of water as a water wraith. I'm not sure how all these things happen. They just do. Magic is crazy, right? But Firestorm, creating a channel between the pool and the sea before Zatanna, cast a spell that allowed the water-based Aquaman to control the entire ocean as his body, allowing him to sink Atlantis in the past and present and disrupt Gamemne's power. So I wonder if that's almost like a weird time loop, like Aquaman had always sunk Atlantis, but he did so by being pulled back in time to do it. I don't know, it's weird. But Zatanna also starred in another solo one-shot in 2003 called Zatanna Everyday Magic, in which she fought Nimmu Ravensong, a magic user jealous of Zatanna's ability to use magic naturally and without committing sacrifices. Nimmu seduced and cursed John Constantine, leading Zatanna into conflict with the wannabe sorceress. In the 2004 limited series Identity Crisis, Zatanna is a member of the Justice League at the time the villain Dr. Light takes advantage of Elongated Man's wife, Sue Dibney. When I say take advantage, I mean in like one of the worst possible ways. I'm not going to say it because social media platforms don't like that. They can flag you for the word. But anyways, when apprehended, Dr. Light threatens the JLA members' families, although Zatanna is prepared to erase Light's memories of the incident as she had done to other villains with knowledge dangerous to the League, tampering with Dr. Light's mind. And this is not the same Dr. Light that we did a deep dive on before. The one we did a deep dive on before was a hero and a female. This was like, I think, the original Dr. Light, which is a villain and a weird pervy dude. But anyways. Okay. Tampering with Light's mind sparks a debate among the team's members. Should the villain's personality be transformed to prevent him from repeating this crime? It's a good question. Zatanna, Hawkman, and the Atom, but this is the Ray Palmer version, vote for such an action, while Green Arrow, Black Canary, and Green Lantern vote against it. The Flash, which was Barry Allen at the time, breaks the tie. Zatanna mind wipes Dr. Light, and in the process results in his intellectual abilities being lowered. In the midst of the process, Batman appears to try to stop it. Zatanna freezes him, and the members vote unanimously to erase Batman's memories of the incident as well. which is crazy. Because, you know, so answer me this. This brings up a good question. If you can catch a criminal and erase their memories of it and kind of mind wipe them to kind of basically reset the people, this could have a positive impact on their personality. This could make it to where they never do something like this again. Would you do it? But what if they're just inherently evil and they have no knowledge before, so they just go in and keep going? Would it make any difference? What are your opinions? If you could do it, would you do it? Let me know in the comments. All right. But anyway, Zatanna's working relationship with Batman sours after he ends up remembering the altercation to his alteration to his memory. When Zatanna helps Batman with reconnaissance at one of Ra's al Ghul's Lazarus pits, she asks him why he came to her, and Batman said, "I needed someone I could trust, but I had to settle for you." That's just cutting right there. That's just me. I get it. It's justified, but man, like, he didn't pull any punches. After Infinite Crisis, their relationship appears to have been warmed. So starting to get along better. In Detective Comics number 824, he calls her for information on a card counter involved in scamming the Penguin. He makes no mention of their conflict and casually calls her by her nickname, Z. So they must have gained some kind of trust again. He must have, and I can see Batman doing that. I can see Batman either closing off someone completely, but we have to remember he is like a master strategist, right? So I can see Batman seeing her abilities, her power set, which we'll get into, as an advantage to have her on his side rather than against him. So, he may start, like, releasing small bits of information and kind of testing her on it. But you're not going to fool Batman. You're not going to fool Batman twice, you know? So, he's probably warmed up to her, but he's got contingencies in place. And he knows what and what not to tell. And he's probably got, like, recording devices on him in case something happens that he can refer to later. I would not be surprised. But anyways, Catwoman discovers that Zatanna's mind wipe of Dr. Light and Identity Crisis is not an isolated occurrence. See, this is where it gets messy. Catwoman's journey from villain to hero and her resulting efforts to lead a moral life are retconned as being the result of Zatanna's mental intervention. Catwoman comes to distrust her memories, motives, and the choices she has made since that incident. And in retaliation, Catwoman shoves Zatanna out a window. Zatanna parries the next attack from Catwoman and freezes her before apologizing and leaving her. So Zatanna is this one person that people are like, "I can't trust myself around you, and I can't trust if I know you, if I know we have interactions, I can't trust anything. I don't know if I'm doing it consciously or if I'm doing it because you mind wiped me." That's crazy. And that's incredibly dangerous to have as a teammate, right? To have that kind of distrust. Like, what do you do? All right. In 2005, there was a 4-issue Zatanna Limited series, and it was published as part of Grant Morrison's Seven Soldiers event. In it, at a support group for superheroes, she recounts a failed magical ritual to search for her father's tomes, during which one of her past spells summons a shapeshifter named Gwydion, who kills her companions. This trauma, combined with her guilt from her former mind wipes, robs her of her powers. So do you guys remember, like, in, like, the one of the Tobey Maguire Spider-Mans, he couldn't do the web thing because it was, like, psychological, as a mind block? It's kind of like how this was. She just got so caught up in it that she couldn't do magic, which tells me that someone's level of magical abilities is kind of contingent on their confidence level, right? I mean, it would only make sense. The more you believe that you can do something, the more likely it is that you can. So, it's just something to think about. Alright. With the help of her new apprentice, Misty Kilgore, she captures Gwydion to use as her own. She eventually regains her confidence and powers, there we go, and uses them to defeat Zor, a rogue time tailor who released the Shida as a plague to infect and degrade the entire universe. As a reward, the other time tailors, which is a terrible name, like T-A-I-L-O-R-S, like for fabric. Yeah, they're going to make you a time tuxedo. But anyways, the other time tailors allow her one last meeting with her father, who reveals that his books, and that's the tomes, were written for her, his greatest spell and gift to the world. In the final battle against the Shida, Zatanna casts a spell to move time and space, retroactively positioning the seven soldiers to overthrow the Shida. Okay. In Detective Comics number 833, and this was in August of 2007, it stated that Zatanna's father, Zatara, was a friend of Thomas Wayne. Zatara trained Bruce Wayne in the art of escape, and Bruce and Zatanna were actually childhood friends, although Batman believes that he had never met her in Justice League of America number 51, and her only memory of meeting him is while she was disguised. So there's a little bit of conflicting information. I could see where Zatara would have met Thomas Wayne, and he could have taught Bruce the art of escape. Maybe I can see Zatara meeting the Waynes as a famous magician and illusionist. I could see them meeting. The other stuff, I'm not so sure about. It just doesn't seem to hold a lot of water to me. But anyways, Bruce helps Zatanna investigate the death of one of her former assistants. All clues point to a performer named Ivar Loxias. Loxias is revealed to be the Joker in disguise. He shoots Zatanna in the throat and incapacitates Batman. Zatanna is able to heal herself by writing a curing spell in her own blood, and she is instrumental in foiling the Joker's schemes, driving Joker insane in the process. Bruce puts Zatanna's betrayal behind him, allowing the two to renew their friendship. So there we go. I guess this is kind of helping solidify everything, where he had given her, called her by a nickname, was being friendly with her before. So here's a question then. Zatanna can mind wipe people. She's mind wiped a lot of people. Could she mind wipe the Joker? Now, the Joker is named as an agent of chaos. And that's kind of like a cosmic kind of thing, like a cosmic power kind of thing. Not that he has powers, just that they see him, like Dr. Fate is an agent of order. Joker is an agent of chaos. So could she actually mind wipe him? Would the powers that be, would they let that happen? It's a good question, right? Think of all the lives that could be saved because of that. Okay, but on the roll call of Justice League of America number 22, and this is in August of 2008, so this is a year later, Zatanna is listed as part of the team. Called upon to help with Red Tornado's restoration in his android form, she aids the League when they are attacked by a new, powerful iteration of Amazo. During the battle, Zatanna has her mouth magically removed with her spells, and once again uses her blood to write out spells and restore it. After that, Wonder Woman throws off Amazo's concentration and frees Zatanna. Zatanna then defeats Amazo once and for all by using the Red Tornado's soul. Following this battle, Zatanna rejoins the team. That's crazy. Zatanna later accompanies Firestorm, Black Lightning, and Batman to Metropolis after they come to believe Kamoyo Hoshi has been kidnapped by agents of the covert metahuman team known as the Shadow Cabinet. I believe Kamiyo Hoshi is the good guy or good female Dr. Light. I could be wrong because it's been a while, but I think that is. Alright, after a brief conflict, Zatanna and the others were informed by teenage superheroine Rocket that Kamoyo's perceived abduction was actually a misunderstanding caused by the Shadow Cabinet's mission to seek out her help in dealing with a cosmic vampire known as Starbreaker. With assistance from Hardware and Icon, Zatanna and her comrades are able to defeat Starbreaker in a battle in the Himalayas. In Gotham City Sirens, Zatanna is visited and restrained by Poison Ivy, who interacts via a tree and asks her if her encounter with Catwoman changed Selina in any way. This is crazy, because this is someone that is... they're communicating to her with a tree, which means that they're afraid to get close to her in case her actions did actually change Catwoman, and they don't want to be mind wiped either. She has got this whole level of fear around her now. And it's not her fear, it's people being afraid of her. So, Zatanna takes a leave of absence from the JLA, only to reappear during a battle with Despero. Once he is defeated, Zatanna informs the League of the apocalyptic events of the Blackest Night taking place across the globe. After taking the team to the Hall of Justice to find Firestorm, she is forced to fight the undead form of her father, continually pitting the black magic he wields against her own. It's implied that she was successful in banishing the Black Lantern, but was left psychologically crushed from having to kill her father again. In the aftermath of Blackest Night, Kamoyo mentions that Zatanna is one of the members who has then left the team. In May of 2010, Zatanna received her own solo series, written by Paul Dini and drawn by Stephanie Rue. No longer an active member of the JLA, Zatanna is asked by Officer Dale Colton to help solve a murder case at a restaurant frequented by mobsters. Zatanna informs Dale that the murderer was a powerful sorcerer known as Brother Knight, who rules the supernatural crime scene in San Francisco. After Zatanna shows up at Knight's demonic nightclub and threatens him, he responds by calling upon a powerful nightmare demon for help in battling her, but Zatanna defeats and imprisons the demon to aid her later. A crooked casino owner who had made a deal for eternal youth with the demon of avarice by selling the souls of his brides to the demon attempts to use a love potion to win Zatanna's soul. When her cousin Zachary Zatara breaks the spell, the casino owner begs Zatanna to turn him into a soulless lump of gold in order to escape the torment in hell. That's crazy. Aside from Brother Knight, Zatanna faces other threats, such as Oscar Hampel, a man who tried to murder her when she was a child and was turned into a puppet by her father. The Zatanna series ended with issue number 16, which was in October of 2011. So it lasted a bit. It lasted a little over a year, so it wasn't a bad series, right? In September of 2011, the New 52 rebooted DC's continuity. This could be why Zatanna series ended. Because New 52 like rebooted everything, and I liked the 52 series at the time. But Zatanna is one of the main characters in Peter Milligan's Justice League Dark series. She sports a new costume, though she still wears her classic magician's outfit during shows. In the first issue, she learns that Superman, Wonder Woman, and Cyborg have been defeated by the Enchantress and volunteers her services to the League. The Black Canary and Zatanna graphic novel Bloodspell, written by Paul Dini and drawn by Joe Quinones, was to be released in 2012 but was delayed until May of 2014. The story centered around a 16-year-old Black Canary's first meeting with Zatanna. So that's just kind of establishing history there. Maybe they have the fishnets in common. I don't know. But Zatanna made her first rebirth appearance in Detective Comics number 958, assisting Bruce Wayne in taking out a robot chasing after a cult member. Later on, Zatanna shows Bruce magic. Later, Bruce sees her again and asks her to teach him more about magic. Ultimately, she declines and then wipes his memory! Are you freaking kidding me? After the conclusion of the main storyline of the DC Rebirth Batwoman series, Zatanna is implied to be an outpatient therapist of sorts for Beth Kane, who is Kate Kane, which is Batwoman's twin sister. In 2018, a new Justice League Dark series began, with a redesigned Zatanna being part of the team. Zatanna travels to northern Italy to bind a group of demons called Osservatori in a story called Zatanna Sleight of Hand, published in the DC New Talent Showcase 2018. Prior to the New 52, the character was considered to be half human and half Homo Magi. Her ancestry first heavily implied to include the Atlantean demigod Arion. This was later stated in her origin story in the 52 series through Sindela's family line. Through her father's family line, the character was considered to be a descendant of Leonardo da Vinci and is related to Nostradamus, Alessandro Cagliostro, Nicholas Flamel, and Evan Fulcanelli, making her of French and Italian heritage. Okay, see, I always thought, and I'm sorry, when putting this information down, I didn't notice that. I put it down, and for some reason, it just skipped me. I did a write-up a few days later, and I always thought she was, like, Romanian or something. So, French and Italian, which I guess Romanian's close enough to Italian. Anyways, after the adventure Flashpoint and the New 52, it is mentioned that both Sindela and Giovanni Zatara are of the Homo Magi race. In comics, taking place in the mainstream continuity, Zatanna has had various relationships with other DC characters, including John Constantine and Dr. 13. Zatanna also had a flirtatious relationship with her fellow Justice Leaguer Barry Allen, The Flash, shortly after the death of his wife, Iris. In the New 52 Futures End timeline, Zatanna is romantically involved with Jason Blood or Etrigan, the demon, and in the Mystic U universe, Zatanna pursued a romantic relationship with Sebastian Faust, the son of infamous sorcerer Felix Faust. She's also had a strong friendship with Batman due to their shared past, which was then retconned later. In Detective Comics number 843 and 844, Zatanna and Bruce briefly discussed the possibility of having a more meaningful relationship. Both later concede that Bruce is too devoted to his cause as Batman to give her the relationship she wishes for, but the pair reaffirm their bond as close friends. Catwoman once considered Zatanna a more dangerous contender for Bruce's attentions than Jezebel Jett, his fiancée at the time. A pep talk between the two women confirms how Zatanna really meant during the fateful discussion with Bruce to explore the possibility of a true romance, but turned out quietly resigned to the role of best friend and confidant. Claiming to act on Bruce's best interest, she pushes Selina into confessing her feelings to Bruce, thus stealing him from Jezebel Jett before it's too late. In mainstream media, DC animated universes touch on Bruce and Zatanna's closeness, depicted as her having had a crush on him while he trained under her father as John Smith. Though she later found out his real name, decades later an elderly Bruce is still shown to care for her as he keeps a picture of her along with pictures of his other love interests in a file in the Bat computer. Guys have those files. We have those files too. Oh, in the DC series Young Justice, Zatanna has a flirtatious and possibly romantic relationship with Dick Grayson and Robin during season 1. Dick later says they have a history, and in season 2, which was 5 years later, implying that they had dated and eventually broke up but still remained close. In season 4, Artemis mentions that both Satana and Raquel dated Dick Grayson prior. Let's see here. Let's get into powers. Yeah. Okay. You know what? I think... Yeah, okay, that's cool. It's cool. Alright. Powers. Oh my goodness gracious. I tell you what. We're like halfway through this Mamma Jamma. What do you guys think of her history? She has been so influential in so many different things, but she has not been given a lot of the limelight, right? Let me know. Like I said, you can catch me on Instagram and Twitter X under Super Deep Dive. You can catch me on TikTok under Superhero Deep Dive. You can email me directly at b4itall@yahoo.com. And you can catch me on YouTube under Superhero Deep Dive, which is probably the best place to have a conversation. Share your thoughts. If I missed anything important in her history, let me know. Because we can have a discussion about it. Other people can join in. All I ask is that you be respectful. Alright, let's get into her powers. She's an expert magician with a knowledge of an immeasurable power of a measurable number of spells. Zatanna is considered one of the most powerful magicians in the DC universe, and as a member of the Homo Magi race, she possesses both the genetic ability to use magic and has mastery over both mystical and cosmic forces, considered to be as old as the universe itself. Her considerable prowess has earned her titles such as Mistress of Magic and Sorceress Supreme. Depicted as being peers to other notable magic users such as Madame Xanadu, John Constantine, Jason Blood and Etrigan, Sebastian Faust, Dr. Occult, and Tempest. Zatanna's power has also rivaled Dr. Fate incarnations Hector Hall and Khalid Nassor. As tribute and a method to concentrate, Zatanna usually casts spells by speaking backwards. This is known as logomancy. For a variety of magical effects such as teleportation, healing, manipulating the minds of others, and more. Zatanna can also cast spells and other magics normally and by other means, but due to this reliance on speech, she is often bound and gagged by villains as a means of incapacitation. While not as adept as Madame Xanadu, Zatanna has proven herself able to call upon tarot reading for insight or divination, a skill set that does not require verbal incantations, spoken, written, or anything. Nor is it tied to a specific tarot deck. Her magical powers increase if not used, but overuse of them can deplete them to the point that further use strains her physical well-being. As with other magical users, the only way to restore her waning powers is an extended period of rest. Furthermore, her powers seem tied to her self-confidence. See, there we go. As a long series of blunders described in Seven Soldiers left her both emotionally and psychologically shattered, powerless until she was able to restore her lost confidence. Alright, in addition to her magical abilities, Zatanna is a skilled illusionist, showgirl, and stage magician, even without resorting to her innate magical powers. She considers part of her training exercising sleight of hand tricks, and she claims to have invented a variation of the three-card Monty called the Zatara Shuffle, in which she is so fast and precise that even without resorting to cheating, only skilled gamblers like Selena Kyle are able to follow the movements of her hands. Zatanna is also a skilled hand-to-hand combatant, having been trained by her father during her childhood. She is highly trained in escape artistry, having learned how to get out of a straitjacket underwater in kindergarten and between her magic show acts. As a sorceress, Zatanna has also access to various arcane objects at her disposal, many of them being the same collection of artifacts her father collected over the years. Some of these are like the Talisman of Atlantis, which is one of the various mystic artifacts she carried for a time during the character's redesign in the 90s, appearing with in her 1993 solo series. The artifact is a gift from her mother, in which was contained within her father's assorted artifacts, and allows her to utilize magic via concentration as opposed to backward speaking. It was also used in conjunction with a magical staff to focus her powers through. Demonography, a demonology book that details information relating to demons. Due to its magical properties, the book automatically updates itself with information, as seen when an entry of the demon Nibiros was updated to include a recent involvement with Blue Devil, with revised additions, the act done by an unforeseen group of entities. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool to have your own, like, demonology book on hand that updates automatically, right? Especially when you're dealing with magical stuff, when you're dealing with mystical and supernatural things, that's going to happen. All right, let's get into fun facts. Fun facts. Zatanna appears in the series set in the DC animated universe. She first appears in a self-titled episode of Batman the Animated Series. This version befriended Batman as a youth and developed a crush on him while he was studying escapology under her father Zatara in the guise of John Smith. In the present, while working as a stage illusionist due to not having discovered her true magical potential yet, she reunites with Batman in the present while foiling criminal magic debunker Montague Kane's plans. Zatanna makes a non-speaking cameo appearance in the New Adventures of Batman, or the New Batman Adventures episode Chemistry. She also makes a cameo appearance in a photograph depicted in the Batman Beyond episode Out of the Past. Zatanna appears in Justice League Unlimited, in This Little Piggy, and in The Balance. As of this series, she has joined the Justice League. And additionally, she is capable of reciting spells without speaking and while speaking normally, and continues to use stage illusions. Zatanna appears in Smallville, portrayed by Serinda Swan. This was actually a pretty good version of Zatanna. Serinda Swan fit the role nicely. Zatanna appears in the teaser for the Batman Brave and Bold episode Chill of the Night. This version wears purple tights instead of fishnets, so you know you can't win them all. Zatanna also appears in Young Justice. This version is initially a teenager and member of the team who becomes romantically involved with Robin. After donning the Helmet of Fate to defeat Clarion the Witch Boy, Nabu refuses to release her until Zatara offers to take her place. Ever since, she works to free her father, and in the second season, an adult Zatanna joins the Justice League. In the fourth season, Zatanna trains the Sentinels of Magic to help her free Zatara by convincing Nabu to rotate between all of them. Zatanna also appears in Justice League Action, and she also appears in DC Superhero Girls. This version, also known by her first name Z, is a dramatic fashionista and student at Metropolis High. I was going to say Metropolis. Metropolis High. Zatanna then makes a non-speaking cameo in Harley Quinn as of a very problematic Valentine's Day special. She has entered a relationship with the Flash. In 2005, screenwriter Hadley Davis announced that she had written an action comedy featuring a teenage version of Zatanna. Zatanna also appears in a proposed Guillermo del Toro film project based on the Justice League Dark, which was meant to be part of the DC Extended Universe. Man, a del Toro film. That would be nuts. That would be insane to see. A live-action Zatanna film developed by Warner Brothers Discovery and Bad Robot Productions, and with Emerald Fennell serving as a writer, was in production before it was canceled as of March of 2021. An unnamed alternate universe version of Zatanna makes a non-speaking cameo appearance in Justice League Crisis on Two Earths as a minor member of the Crime Syndicate. The Young Justice incarnation of Zatanna makes a cameo appearance in Scooby-Doo WrestleMania Mystery. Zatanna also appears in the DC Animated Universe films Justice League Dark and Justice League Dark Apocalypse War. This version is a member of Justice League Dark at the time. She also appears in LEGO DC Comics Superhero The Flash. She makes a cameo appearance in Teen Titans Go to the Movies, which is a super funny movie. I love that movie. It's great. I might watch it tomorrow. Zatanna appears as a non-playable character in the DC Universe Online game. She's also a downloadable playable character in LEGO Batman 2 DC Super Heroes and a playable character in Young Justice Legacy. She also appears as a downloadable player character or downloadable playable character in Injustice Gods Among Us. In her non-canonical arcade mode ending, she and Dr. Fate combine their powers to create the Tower of Fate and house enemies of High Counselor Superman's regime before it was converted into a prison for those who supported the regime. She's also a playable character in LEGO Batman 3 Beyond Gotham and a playable character in Infinite Crisis. Zatanna makes a non-speaking cameo appearance in Dr. Fate and Raiden's ending in Injustice 2. In the latter, she serves as a founding member of Justice League Dark. She's also a playable character in DC Unchained. She's a playable character in LEGO DC Supervillains via the Justice League Dark downloadable content pack. She also appears in Gotham Girls. And a teenage Zatanna appears in the Zatanna Trial of the Crystal Wand segment of Cartoon Monsoon. This version takes inspiration from Sabrina the Teenage Witch and Buffy Summers and has an older brother named Damon. Okay. The Smallville incarnation of Zatanna appears in the 4-issue miniseries Smallville Harbinger, in which she meets John Constantine and joins forces with him to retrieve her father's book of magic and rescue Rachel Roth from Brother Blood. So she's been in a lot of stuff. And the DC Superheroes Girl incarnation of Zatanna appears in the franchise's tie-in novel, Spaced Out. So they have her. She's in everything, it seems like. It's insane. But what do you guys think? Like, I mean, are you just kind of blown away by it all? Because I am. She's got a lot going for her. Let me know. Email me at b4itall@yahoo.com. That's the number 4. Let me know in the comments on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff. My DMs are always open. I get comments or I get messages every so often. I get emails frequently. Every blue moon, someone starts a conversation on YouTube. I would love to see that continue to go because I want to build the community. But let me give my final thoughts on this. Oh, goodness. So I've always loved Zatanna, but she's a very unique character in that it's hard to come up with something to make her stand out in a significant way. But she's just so awesome. We owe it to her to give it a try, right? Like, let's try. So I saw earlier that there was an attempt to do an action comedy, which could work, but I think the character has a bit too much seriousness for that. I mean, like, you know, she's trained to be a stage performer, so she's going to be kind of, like, nonchalant and thing in the public eye. But, you know, she's searching for her father. You know, her father was killed in a seance. He sacrificed himself for her. So, you know, there's a lot going on with that. Just leaves a little too much of a dark ring around it. But what if she started off in a movie as like an extra character and then got her own movie afterwards? Like take Constantine, for instance. She could cameo in his movie, right? Show her stuff off a bit and then branch out into her own. She could end up being DC's foremost magic expert, right? Like, we could show her helping to save Superman when he gets established because they're redoing Superman. Because he's always been weak against magic. We could also, she could also be shown as mentoring the Shazam family, since they're also rooted in magic and have no real experience. I mean, she could hold the secrets of Dr. Fate from Black Adam. Now, I know some of these are, you know, they've been discontinued. I get it. I do. But there could still be references. Like, I don't know. I feel like these things could maybe be mentioned in passing. Now, I know that most, if not all, these movies have been retconned, but the possibilities and references could still be there. Just like I said. Like, she could end up fighting off the demon Trigon, who could be the main villain in a new Constantine film, which feeds into Raven for a Teen Titans movie or a series reboot. I don't know if the series is still going, but it could be, right? So, with that, let's kind of, like, maybe put them all together. Like, I think I got it. Let's have Constantine start the Dark Trilogy. He's taking care of some demonic event by Brother Blood, who leads a cult to bring upon Trigon. Now, Brother Blood is a classic Teen Titans villain. Normally a cult leader, believes in the occult and all this stuff and the supernatural, so he could tie into that easily. Alright. So, at the end of this movie, Constantine's broken up the cult, and he thought he broke up the ceremony to prevent Trigon's return, but we find out, like, in a post-credit scene that Trigon has actually made it through. Like, we can see, maybe there's an extra character that's running out of the building or something, and we see their eyes, all of a sudden they get, like, Trigon's got, like, three sets of eyes. He's got normal eyes and then two extra sets on his forehead just going up. So maybe we see someone running, like they remove a hat or something that they had, and we see like his red eyes and then the two extra sets on his forehead, showing that Trigon has actually made it through. From there, let's go to Zatanna doing her movie. She's doing her own thing with like shows and being in the public eye. While behind the scenes, she's helping mentoring the Shazam family or taking care of Fate's helmet. Like, we can see that in the background, like in a display case or something. And also being on call to help Superman and whoever else needs it with the Justice League. As we see magic attacks increasing, she realizes that Trigon is actually at the source and ultimately finds and defeats him, only to put him in a small red gemstone in order to keep him prisoner. Do you guys see where I'm going with this? Alright. Lastly, we go to a Titans movie where Raven is given the gemstone through unknown means. Maybe she finds it. Maybe he's putting the gemstone and cast out, and it just so happens she finds it somewhere. Or it's drawn to her because he's supposed to be her child, right? So as it turns out, she's the daughter of Trigon, who has to keep him prisoner and keep her sanity at the same time. And the people that help her are members of the Titans, and they are fighting Trigon's other children who have been born and grown between the Zatanna and Titans movie, or actually even at the end of like the Constantine movie. You know, like, so this can be over a series of time, like 15, 16, 17, 18 years, whatever you want to say. The movies don't have to be that far apart, but the timeline itself. Now, what this can do is this can set that whole stage up. Like, this can be an awesome trilogy, because then, you know, they're fighting Trigon's other children. So we see where the people escaped. Trigon escaped from the Constantine movie. He's been kind of working things in the background, but while he's working, he is building up a family, basically. And he's doing the thing that demons and gods and stuff like to do from Greek mythology. They are just sleeping around and having random children, right? Raven is just one that, you know, there's always that black sheep of the family. So where everyone is bad, Raven is good. she comes across the gemstone because Trigon recognizes that that is one of his children. And maybe she's the only girl. Like, maybe it's like a bunch of guys and she's the only girl. And because she could be the only girl, maybe she's got some special connection that makes her potentially more powerful. So the gemstone is drawn to her. When she gets it, she's got to fight off his influence because he's just constantly tormenting her. But if she doesn't have the gem with her, there's a potential for one of his other children to find it and release him. So she's got to keep it on guard, right? Now, it would definitely take some heavy planning, but it could be a whole series that would be amazing to see. Now, who would you cast as Zatanna? I love Serinda Swan as a character, but, you know, speaking bluntly, she may be a little aged out for that and upcoming movies. You know, because she did Smallville, I think back in early 2000s, so we're looking at like 20 years later. You know, it's just not her time anymore, and that's okay. But there have been fan castings. I've seen one of the more popular ones is, I'm sorry if I butchered her name. It's Alexandria Daddario or something. She was in like Percy Jackson. She was in Baywatch. She's been in a bunch of other things. Beautiful woman. I personally didn't think that she had the best look because I always thought Zatanna was more Romanian seeming, but you know, and maybe that's just the Italian they wrote her as type of background. I could see Alexandria Daddario having more of that French influence. I don't see the Italian, and watch her be like full-blooded Italian and I'm just killing it because I'm dumb, but that's just how I feel. I wouldn't cast her because I don't think she has the right look, and Zatanna is iconic. So I don't know who we'd cast, but she's got to be fun-loving, a little exotic, and not necessarily shy about her sexuality, as she's, you know, a performer in magic shows and stuff like that kind of calls for it, right? Like, I mean, it sucks to say, but it's kind of part of the job. So I'm thinking something like a Megan Fox type actress before her current situation, because she's not Megan Fox, as gorgeous as she is, she's definitely not Zatanna now. And you know, I mean, I'll be honest with you, Megan Fox, I've never been impressed with her acting skills, so I don't think she could take that role very well. But I'd love to know what your thoughts are. Am I on to something with the movies? Do you have a better idea? Leave a comment and let's open a discussion about it. Like, let me know what you think. Like I said, you can catch me on email if you want. It's b4itall@yahoo.com. You can catch me on Twitter or X and Instagram under Super Deep Dive. DMs are always open. I post superhero memes daily. You can also catch me on TikTok and YouTube under Superhero Deep Dive. With YouTube, I would love it if you subscribed, comment, hit the notification bell, all that good stuff. Because I post meme videos daily. I post AI-generated artwork. I know a lot of you are not fans of it. I know of AI art in general. It's just fun to do. It's just fun to like look up prompts and, you know, and just kind of reimagine characters in certain ways. So don't take it as anything more than that. Like, that's all it really is. It's just something fun to put up. I do, you know, superhero memes. I've posted a lot of other things before. So check them out. But yeah, but I would really genuinely love to know what you guys think of these things. But I think I'm going to head out for now. It did take gosh, right at about an hour for this. So good job, guys. Thank you for sticking around with me. Next week, I have a great episode planned. But in the meantime, I hope you're all blessed. I hope you're happy. I hope you're safe. I hope you're smart. But if you're not smart, don't get caught. See you guys later. Everyone have a good one. Bye-bye.